Chapter 25. Anybody with an ounce of sense knows that fighting someone with a significant advantage in size, weight, and reach is difficult. If your opponent has you by 50 pounds, winning a fight against him is a dubious proposition at best. If your opponent has you by 8,050 pounds, you've left the realm of combat and enrolled yourself in Roadkill 101, or possibly in a Tom and Jerry cartoon. My body was already in motion, apparently having decided that waiting on my brain to work things through was counterproductive to survival. It was thinking that the cat and mouse analogy was a pretty good one. While I was nimbler and could accelerate more swiftly than the huge gruff, he could build up more speed on a straightaway. Physically speaking, I had almost no chance of seriously harming him, while even a love tap from him would probably collapse my rib cage. Another similarity. Jerry wins on television, but in real life, Tom would rarely end up with the short end of the stick. I don't remember Mister ever coming home nursing mouse-inflicted wounds. For that matter, he hardly ever came home with one of his rambles hungry. Playing cat and mouse is generally only fun for the cat. My body, meanwhile, had flung itself to one side, forcing Tiny to turn as he pursued me, limiting his speed and buying me a precious second or three, time enough for me to sprint toward a section of floor marked off by a pair of yellow caution signs, where Joe the janitor had been waxing the floor. I crossed the wet, slick floor at a sprint and prayed that I wouldn't trip. If I went down, it would take only one stomp of one of those enormous hooves to slice me in half. Footgear like that isn't so hot for slippery terrain, though. As soon as I crossed to the other side of the waxed floor, I juked left as sharply as I could, changing direction. Tiny tried to compensate, and his legs went out from under him. That isn't a big deal by itself. Sometimes when you run, something happens, and you trip and you fall down. You get a skinned knee or two, maybe scuff up your hands, and very rarely you'll do something worse, like sprain an ankle. But that's a human mass. Increase the mass to Tiny's size, and a fall becomes another animal entirely, especially if there's a lot of velocity involved. That's one reason why elephants don't ever actually run. They aren't capable of it, of lifting their weight from the ground in a full running stride. If they fell at their size, the damage could be extreme, and evidently nature had selected out all those elephant wind sprinters. That much weight, moving at that much speed, carries a tremendous amount of energy, enough to easily snap bones, to drive objects deep into flesh, to scrape the ground hard enough to strip a body to the bone. Tiny must have weighed twice what an elephant does. 5 tons of flesh and bone came down all along one side of his body and landed hard, then slid, carrying so much momentum that Tiny more resembled a freight train than any kind of living being. He slid across the floor and slammed into the wall of the rental car kiosk, shattering it to splinters, and went right on through it, hardly even slowing down. Tiny dug at the floor with the yellow nails of one huge hand, but they didn't do anything but peel up curls of wax as he went sliding past me. I slammed on the brakes and tried to judge where Tiny looked like he'd coast to a halt. Then I drew in my will. It was difficult as hell in the falling water, but I didn't need a lot of it. When it comes to intentionally screwing up technology, I've always had a gift. I focused on the lights above the entire section of the station Tiny slid into, lifted my right hand, and snarled,
"Hexus!"
Some of them actually exploded in showers of golden sparks. Some of them let out little puffs of smoke, but every single one of them went out. Michael had advanced down the concourse far behind me, and the light of Amorakios was now shielded by the station's interior walls. When I took out the electric lights, it created a genuine swath of heavy shadows. The sudden island of darkness drew Hobbs like corpses draw flies, burned, terrified, furious Hobbs, whose tidbit-filled night on the town had suddenly turned into a nightmare. They didn't have eyes, but they found their way through the dark easily enough, and I saw more than a dozen rush in, one of them passing within a couple of feet of me without ever slowing down or taking note of my presence. Tiny started bellowing a second later, his huge voice blending with the vengeful howls of angry Hobbs. "Ain't so big now," I panted, "are ya?" But as it turned out, Tiny was just as big.